Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Tonight, On Call with the Prairie Doc airs on SDPB TV 1. You can also watch it on the Prairie Doc Facebook page. And joining us now from the Janine Basinger studio at South Dakota State University in Brookings, we have the doc himself, Dr. Rick Holm. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lori. Great honor to be included here.
All right.
Thank you.
Tonight's show is dementia. Do I understand that correctly?
Right. We have a psychiatrist and a neurologist. Robert Nuss is a psychiatrist, and Jeff Boyle is a neurologist. So it'll be an interesting perspective. We've not had a psychiatrist on board before, but he has an interest in dementia, and that will be particularly interesting.
How do those two things intersect?
Well, you know, a lot of mental illness manifests early on with Alzheimer's disease, for example. So a person may suddenly become just emotionally distraught or paranoid about things, you know, suddenly in their 70s, a person starts getting paranoid schizophrenia. No, that's a disease of the 20s. Why would he become or she become start becoming paranoid and think people are plotting against them? And the reason commonly is it's a sign of Alzheimer's or one of the dementias.
Interesting. And what do we know about causes at this point?
I want to kind of go over the causes because it's important to realize there's a lot of potential causes, some of which are very treatable and reversible. And then when you get Alzheimer's disease or stroke-induced dementia, you know, that's 80 or 90% of the causes. You know, there's not a lot you can do. I mean, you can raise the level of their awareness and compensation for the disease, but the disease still progresses. So it's sort of like you're sliding down a hill. You stop, you start one of the anti-Alzheimer's drugs, you go up about 10 more feet, and then you get back on your sled and down the hill you go. I mean, it only delays it. So there's not a lot of good treatment for the official dementias, but they're really good treatment for other things. So I want to kind of go through them.
All right, go ahead.
Well, Alzheimer's and vascular disease or stroke-induced dementia are the lion's share of dementias. There are other kinds, frontotemporal dementia, Lewy body dementia, dementia associated with Parkinson's, traumatic brain injury from football playing or, you know, head injury. Those are the major things that can cause dementia. But look, there are other pseudo-dementia or dementia-like symptoms brought on by, are you ready? Here's the list. Depression, low thyroid can do it, certain kinds of infection, a multiple sclerosis diagnosis, low blood sugars or too high blood sugars, too low or too high sodium and calcium. Alcohol abuse can do this. If you can stop drinking, that might prevent the progression. Malnutrition or deficiency with vitamin B12, B1, and vitamin D deficiency, although we're worrying now about D supplements. Dehydration can cause dementia. Bleeding under the lining of the skull of the brain, a reversible thing sometimes. Poisoning with heavy metals or pesticides or cigarette smoking or high levels of carbon monoxide, like check your furnace to see if there's something going on there. Low levels of oxygen from lung disease, moderate to severe sleep apnea. That's the real hidden disease we need to be aware of. And then there's brain tumors. And then people with any major medical illness, you know, a heart attack or a severe bout of infection or pneumonia can present with dementia. And then when they get well, they walk out of the hospital perfectly back to their normal self. So there's a lot of things to think about. Probably the last one to mention is medications. Mm. Probably the biggest cause of dementia might be too many tranquilizers or certain drugs. So you need to talk to your care provider about what drugs you're on, and could those be a cause of memory loss, and could changing the medication help?
All right, so that's a lot. You know, we heard earlier this week that, you know, Alzheimer's and dementia are like the most feared disease as well. People are terrified of it. When they hear that long list, it kind of gives a sense of nuance. But that's also a lot to think about when it comes to prevention. So what are the key takeaways for prevention of dementia?
The biggest, and it really does make you wonder if Alzheimer's disease is a separate disease from stroke and vascular disease, because everything that you can do to prevent a heart attack and stroke and vascular disease is the treatment for prevention of dementia. Mm-hmm. And what are those? There are four major things to help you prevent vascular disease and prevent dementia. Number one is to exercise every day regularly, but maybe a mile, maybe it's 2 miles a day. Maybe you try to get your distance to your tolerance ability and maintain it. I like a mile a day. That does a lot. The second would be less food. It doesn't mean that, I'm not talking obesity, I'm not talking losing weight. I'm just saying if we eat less food, the data says that prevents dementia and vascular disease. And so, if we just cut our calorie count to 1,000 calories a day, which is not much, actually, and it's hard to do it. That's why I start with exercise. But if you can cut your calorie count, and it's a balanced diet but less calories, you're going to do well. And the third and fourth are social interactions and spiritual interactions. And I believe they're underrated. We know that people who are connected to other people, that they have a circle of friends and family that love them dearly and they interact well, they do better. People who have a spiritual center do better. So I think, that whole idea of doing puzzles to prevent Alzheimer's, that's okay. But you know what the best puzzle, the hardest brain challenge there is to do is a sincere, real conversation with another person.
Well, then we're all set, right?
And that's it. And you and I are having one of those right now, or I'm talking too much.
Yeah. No. And I'm curious, before we let you go, the sense of, when you sort of know something is coming at you with the early signs, how does that fit into this conversation about advanced directives? Because you're going to not be fully present for some of those conversations in the future. Talk a little bit about your recommendations for advanced directives, especially regarding dementia.
That's the big one. I mean, if I'm demented and I don't know who my family members are, nothing. And I think almost everybody I ever talk to about it, they feel the same way. Don't keep me alive as a vegetable in a nursing home on a feeding tube. So I think if you really sum it all up, the most important part is that you have a conversation with your family so they know how you think. Right. It isn't the document so much as the document is a tool to talk to your family. And here's the question. If you don't know who your family members are, if you're an unlucky person to come with a stroke or with Alzheimer's disease, or you come down with something that loses your memory, then do you want to be force-fed or forced with fluids to stay alive, or should you be allowed a natural death, A-N-D, allow a natural death? So I'm certainly in that latter category. Leave me alone. A sudden cardiac event with pancreatic cancer, for example, give me the sudden cardiac event.
All right, you can tune in for Dr. Rick Holmes on Call with the Prairie Doc. That's tonight on SDPB TV, 7 Central, 6 Mountain. Dr. Holmes, thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Laurie.